Welcome to the November 30th, 2010 MSF Frontline Reports podcast. Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, or MSF, is an independent medical humanitarian aid organization. I'm Kevin Phelan. This week, for World AIDS Day, December 1st, we bring you a story about giving children with HIV what they need to stay alive and healthy. Treating children with HIV goes beyond putting them on medication. Patient support specifically targeted to children helps motivate them to stick with their treatment regimen. But there is yet to be a scientific study to help determine the best practices for providing this support. So MSF came up with its own guidelines. Melissa Pracht brings us this story.
MSF began treating adults with HIV in the 1990s. 10 years ago, in December of 2000, MSF teams also began treating children with antiretrovirals, or ARVs. Over the past decade, however, there's been little or no progress in key areas of pediatric HIV treatment. We still badly need diagnostics for children under 18 months and medicines that are better adapted for children. In addition to these medical needs, there's another side of providing care to child patients that's also been neglected, and that's patient support. It's a combination of mental health care, education, and help to get basic needs met, so the patient understands his disease, has what he needs to fight it, and will continue to fight it for the rest of his life. For children, this kind of support is crucial, and it needs to be specific to each individual. David Gudubor is a former head of mission for MSF projects in Iraq, Angola, Guinea, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. He helped create guidelines for MSF on providing patient support for children with HIV, but he says official recommendations for all treatment providers are badly needed and long overdue.
When treatment started in Africa, particularly, the whole challenge was to demonstrate that it was possible for health centers to actually give quality care and quality treatment to the patients. And so this giant effort of the first year was concentrating on the adult patients. And at first, there was not really consideration for the case of infected children.
Even as it became clear that it was possible to treat HIV/AIDS in Africa successfully, there were still no specific drug recommendations for treating children.
At that time, babies were not systematically put under treatment. Most of the infected babies were dying in the first 2 years, and there was almost no adolescents infected.
Several years ago, however, children with HIV became a big concern. Now, testing and treatment for children is far from adequate, but it is possible, and MSF has started around 10,000 children on ARV treatment.
At the same time, a number of children who are born with the infection are coming now to adolescence. It became a growing concern. How should we work with the babies, the young children, with the adolescents, and so on?
Gutebur started out his career as an electronics engineer, and he began working with MSF 22 years ago as a technical logistician. He gained more and more field experience and responsibility with MSF, and eventually started serving as head of mission. For 5 years, he was involved in AIDS projects in Kenya, DRC, Malawi, and Mozambique. He got a close look at how much still needed to be done in order to support children with HIV. So MSF asked him to create some guidelines. In 2008, he delivered an 86-page document called Patient Support for HIV-Infected Children. Over time, many of his recommendations have been adopted, but not all of them. In every HIV clinic, he says, patient support should be provided to all patients by counselors, social workers, volunteers, or clinicians. But this doesn't always happen. It's even more unlikely to see a clinic providing patient support specifically adapted for children, which Gutebur says is necessary.
The final goal is adherence to the treatment, and there is a high risk of losing that if the child is considered just as a pill swallower who doesn't deserve an explanation.
Explanation, or patient education, is the first of three pillars Gutebur considers crucial to patient support. With children, it requires a lot of care and listening, as much as being listened to.
We had in Mozambique once a child whom we discovered after a while that we thought he was taking the drugs well, but he was not. And finally, we managed to make him tell us why, and it was because he had a cat that he liked a lot, and his cat fell sick. And he thought, because they tell me that my drugs are so good for me, then he gave his drugs to the cat, but the cat died anyway. And then he thought, those drugs are not that good after all, and he stopped taking them for himself.
The boy eventually restarted his treatment, but the story is an example of how a child's thinking and needs are different from those of an adult. Godebourg says that children should be told as much as they're capable of understanding. All you have to do, he says, is look at some of the cases of children in the first generation of pediatric HIV treatment. Many of those young patients were not told about their status.
There are now reports on how bad and how difficult it was to actually tell the truth to 14 years old, 15 years old, adolescents who have never been officially told. You are now trying to correct a lie that has been going on for so many years. By waiting too long, you are having an adolescent who is less open to discussion and who will be very angry.
An angry patient, he adds, is less likely to take the word of his caretakers and thus less likely to follow an often arduous treatment regimen.
If you don't have a proper patient support, there is a high risk that the patient is not going to be motivated to take the drug, and it's very heavy to take the drugs every morning and every evening, and the whole thing is the motivation.
So how do you explain HIV to a child in a way that he or she will understand?
With a baby, you have to make the baby comfortable, and then you have to work with the mother or the caretaker or the parents to explain to them how they have to do with the treatment. But sometimes it's not the mothers, it's somebody who is not himself HIV positive, and so you have to explain everything about something that they don't know at all.
When a child gets older, a counselor can start using games, books, and stories as tools to teach the child about his or her disease. Over time, the counselor can build on a story, giving the child more and more information until he's ready to know that he has HIV. This is called progressive disclosure.
We can explain, you have that little germ sleeping in your blood, but we have to keep him asleep, therefore we're going to take those pills who are going to keep him asleep. That is a way you can explain to a six-year-old who otherwise would wonder really why those blood taking and those pills and those going to the clinic every month.
As early as 2004, MSF was creating tools to help children understand their disease and help them adhere to the treatment regimen. Teams made an illustrated book called The Devimon Virus, featuring a witch protagonist named Devimon, a metaphor for HIV. Teams also created colorful calendars and health diaries to engage children with their treatment. At a later stage, a counselor will tell the child that what he has is called HIV. In patient support language, this is total revelation.
So we are going to do this phase of revelation at a moment where we think that his level of understanding and the preparation make it now possible to do it in the best condition. And that is usually between 8 and 12 years old. 12 the latest, because we do not want the revelation to happen while there is already these other complications that may happen with an adolescent.
He means the other complications adolescents often struggle with. Relationships, adults, identity issues, issues that could be compounded by learning for the first time that he's HIV positive. Emotional and social support are the second and third essential pillars of patient support, says Godebourg. Emotional support can happen during counseling sessions, helping the child talk through the issues related to the disease and treatment. Nearly all children with HIV will meet with some level of stigma. In fact, their parents' or caretakers' fear of the stigma within their community is sometimes a reason why the child is not informed early on about his disease. To help alleviate the emotional strain and loneliness caused by stigma, some MSF projects create support groups for children living with HIV, so they can be with other children of their same age without worrying about rejection. Children, their parents, and staff will play games and listen to stories that speak to the children's situation. The goal is to get the children to talk about the stories and express themselves, It can make life as a child with HIV a little less painful, and, Godebeur says, make it more likely that they'll keep taking their medicine. Social support can take different forms depending on the individual situation. Many children with HIV in developing countries where MSF works have difficult living situations. Some are orphaned, many live in poverty. They may experience violence in the home or contend with hunger, or they may not have any way to get to school or to a clinic.
But in most clinics, the projects do not have the means to actually give the proper answers to those needs. They cannot pay the school for the child, they cannot give the food. So the clinic has to try and connect with all the other social actors in the community, the church, the government services, the CBOs, community-based organization, any kind of other structure that exists. AIDS patient organization very often exist, who will be able maybe to provide some response to some of the social problems of the patients.
Godebeur was able to implement all the recommendations in his report at a project in Mozambique in 2009. Experience showed a boost in adherence to treatment and more openness among children and their caretakers, he says. Now, real scientific studies need to be done.
We are still lacking real studies and impact measures where we can say that doing this or that activity really has an impact on the adherence and on the health of the children.
Godebeur says that official recommendations that are based on scientific studies will go much further to improving the quality of treatment for children living with HIV. He says it's the role of UNICEF to create such standards and hopes that it will in coming years. When standards exist, individual countries are likely to accept them and integrate them into their national HIV/AIDS programs. Then, maybe children will get the support that they deserve.
That was Melissa Pracht. A unique example of pediatric patient support is Iniza Ujumbe, the Voices of Matare Youth. MSF's HIV clinic in Matare, Kenya, which is called the Blue House, publishes Iniza Ujumbe, a newsletter written and produced by young people living with HIV. The newsletter allows them to share their stories with each other and with the outside world. Here is one short essay called Never Lose Hope by Jeffrey O'Chang, read by MSF's Yaz Barakat.
I was informed too when I decided I had to know. One day I woke up, asked for permission from school, and went to a voluntary counseling center in Nakuru. I consulted no one. I needed no discouragement. There I learned that I was HIV positive. I was not so shocked. I was always sick, and I was tired of my classmates always mocking me each time I fell ill. I wished for one moment that my parents were alive. They died when I was only 7 years old. I am the second born in a family of three. After my parents' death, we had been taken to live with our relatives in Nairobi. It has never been easy, but we had a roof over our heads. The day I learned of my status, I boarded a bus, went home, and disclosed my status to my aunts. How could I be HIV positive, they asked themselves. To them, I was not sexually active, and so there was no way I could have the virus. That same day, they sent me packing and back to school. With no one to talk to, I decided to start treatment after being infected with tuberculosis and meningitis at the same time. Since then, I've been on ARVs. I moved out of my aunt's place because I couldn't take it anymore. It's hard being an orphan and living with this virus, too. Taking medication has never been easy. Among my siblings, I'm the only one who has the virus. It's a mystery because I am the middle child. Sometimes I ask, why me? There were days when I felt like ending it all. My sight is far from good. I stumble when I walk, and I hate it when people treat me as though I were a corpse. Some days I wouldn't take my medication, but after a strong debate with myself, I decided I was going to live and not die. Today I take my drugs religiously. There are joys to adhering to the HIV treatment. My CD4 count is increasing, and with that, my sight is getting better. I am happy about that. I'm working hard, too. I want to go back to school. I know that the sky is the limit, and I will not stop at anything. I have to pay my rent and also make sure that I eat well. I am also saving for my school fees. I am only 19, but I will not stop. I have to go the extra mile and make sure that I have the life that I have always wanted. Blue House has given me a family, and I always go there whenever I feel low and I get counseled. I have a great support group. I wouldn't make it without them.
For more information about MSF or Doctors Without Borders, please visit msf.org to find the MSF website in your home country. MSF is an independent medical humanitarian aid organization that delivers emergency assistance to people affected by wars, epidemics, and natural or man-made disasters in more than 60 countries around the world.